Okay, yes, the ideas. That was a tremendous treatise that we just got there from John. And I have no doubt that the boom, the mining boom and the minerals boom will continue for a very long time. But we need to start weaving into that the alternatives, I guess. I'm not an economist and I don't pretend to be able to make profound statements about that. But in any event, it's certainly something that we should be doing, working towards building the alternatives are going to come through the new technologies. And much of what's going to come through is going to be technology-based. At Curtin University, where I have been now for approaching 5 years, my task is and has been to make it possible to identify the technologies of tomorrow, the businesses of tomorrow, not really the technologies, but the businesses of tomorrow, at the earliest possible stage, and find a way to get them out into the community for the benefit of the community. And along the way, a bit of benefit for Curtin, a bit of benefit for the inventors is not such a bad thing, because the greed factor is actually quite important. So if you get your inventors motivated, then they're going to be much more committed towards getting the right results. So how does one do that? How does one move into a university which, at that stage, did not have a commercialization activity at all, that there was nobody charged with commercializing the technologies? Universities were for teaching and for research. And some universities, the research was with a relatively small R. Now, Curtin has been over a long period of time building the size of that R to the point where it is now very much a research university as well as an excellent teaching university. But what about commercialization? Well, my first task as I saw it was to start changing the culture from the top down. At that point, which was 2003, late 2003, the Business Council of Australia and the Vice Chancellor, Australian Vice Chancellor's Committee, as they were then called, had commissioned a report by the Allen Group to look at effective and best practice commercialization out of universities. And if people haven't read that and are interested in that topic, they should do so. It's really available on the web and it's an excellent document. And I drew on that and other sources to come up with a commercialization strategy for Curtin University. I'll tell you a little bit about that strategy, but I just want to heap praise on the council of Curtin University, who, as I say, had not engaged in commercialization, and they had this upstart who had nothing to do with universities or academia at all come to them and say, look, guys, this is a strategy you should put in place. And they endorsed it. They endorsed it without any pushback at all. And the first element of that strategy was to provide from the highest level, a clear mandate for commercialization to be seen as the third legitimate role of the university alongside teaching and research. Now, there may be other universities who've voiced that. I'm not aware of them. From the top down, a commitment to promote and develop a culture of commercialization, to increase the awareness around the university, staff and academics, about the value of commercialization, to promote that and to make it known and clear that the council and senior management were right behind that. In order to get good commercialization, what do you need? You need good research outcomes. So the two are closely interwoven. So part of the strategy is to develop a great research strategy, and that has been done. The university has got its clear focus or focal points for research and is working on developing those very, very effectively. The other point that's consistent with that report and which has been endorsed is that there needs to be, and this is actually quite topical recently given recent legal judgments in relation to things that you people are probably aware of, a clear IP ownership policy, actively pursuing and exercising the rights associated with that policy, and part of that policy being to appropriately reward the inventors so that everybody remains on side everybody is happy with the way the commercialization is undertaken, the ownership policy associated with it, and the sharing of returns that flows from that. An incredibly important point, which I thought I might have got some pushback from the council, was that at the highest level, the council, by the way, is equivalent to a senate in other universities, the role of the council is, apart from having an overview on the process and endorsing the strategy and receiving reports on performance and so on, is essentially to stay out of the way, avoid trying to micromanage, empower a well-resourced team of people, well-resourced in the sense that they know what they're doing. They come from a commercialization, from a venture capital, from a business background. It may well be that it may be an academic who also has those other characteristics, but that's probably a low priority. So a group of people that are well-resourced, adequately resourced to do the job and who know how to do the job, put the risk mitigation measures and risk control measures in place and let them get on with it and don't try to micromanage. And the last point, which is an incredibly important one, is to be prepared to invest in your own research outcomes. So when you get to the point where the research has been done, you've exhausted all of the grants available from the Research Council and other places, and you've still got a gap to bridge. You'll be hearing about the venture capital availability of money for these ventures. It's not easy in this country, and we are actually very fortunate in Western Australia that we've got Stone Ridge Ventures here and Westscheme, the superannuation fund Westscheme, who have committed to investing at the earliest sensible stage for groups of this nature, but it still leaves a gap that kills so many projects, so many potentially valuable commercial technologies. So invest in your own technology. Be prepared to back it to that point from the end of research to the point where it's investment ready, where the investors of Australia, the venture capital community, angel investors, private investors, high net worths are prepared to put their money in place, behind the opportunity. Well, the council adopted that, and that very first important step they did put in place, because in the very same submission was, and now that you've endorsed this, could you please let me have $5 million as a pre-seed fund to go and put this strategy into place? And that was approved and endorsed. That fund has been active now since 2005, the middle of 2005. Its rules roughly are that you can invest up to $300,000. That's a lot of money for a university in any one venture. The investment recommendations are made by a totally external and fiercely independent investment committee. I make the recommendations, and I and my team make the recommendations to that investment committee, but they review it on very hard-headed lines and determine whether investment is warranted, and they make those investment decisions. In reaching those decisions, we take into consideration that we're dealing with very early stage technologies. When you've got very early stage technologies, you can't be looking at, you know, your profit and loss statements and your balance sheets 3 years out, because typically 3 years out, you know, you won't even have those things, or they'll be, you know, nil entries. So it's very, very early stage. So you have to take a hard-headed view, but you've got to do it at a somewhat abstracted higher level. And the investment criteria that the investment committee is guided by, and I make no apology to Rob Newman beside me for having stolen some of these thoughts from him many years ago. In fact, I recall that it was at a CEDA lunch where he gave a talk and put some things up on the board, and I quickly scribbled some notes and I said, I like those. I think I'll use that slide. And essentially, you know, people. You've got to have the right people with the right attitudes. And when you're talking about academics, you know, you're not going to say, I need the right management team, because you haven't got a management team. But if you've got people who are going to hold on to their technology, going to be difficult to deal with, then there's a lot of good technology out there. There's a lot of good ideas. You're probably not worth wasting your time on that. Go and find something else. Customer appeal. Is there somebody out there Can you show some evidence? There's people out there who are potential customers who say, well, yeah, if it does that, yeah, I'm prepared to pay that much for it. Absolutely. So that sort of validation. You've got to have a sizable market. I use that vague word advisedly, because when you're dealing with a university, sometimes the things you want to put out into the community, you have to modify that a little bit, because they're for the good of the community, and you put up with a not so large market. But certainly markets that are in the hundreds of millions to billions in terms of addressable market, I'm talking about now, not the total automobile market. Anything to do with automobiles, I probably wouldn't want to back anyway. But so the addressable market needs to be a very significant size. And the market dynamics need to be right. That means there shouldn't be anything about that particular market which just makes it too hard to enter the market. The automobile market is actually, the car market is actually a pretty good example. You know, if you want to totally replace the internal combustion engine, then prepare yourself for a very, very long road. Ask Ralph Harwich and friends. And then, of course, probably deliberately down the bottom, the technology itself needs to be breakthrough technology. So you're not just talking about an incremental improvement on a few things. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You go out and you license those to people already doing those things, and they get benefits. The community gets benefits, and that's great, and we do that as well. But in terms of investing in new ventures, new companies that are going to make a difference to this state and a global difference, then you're looking for a breakthrough technology, something that's going to provide you a quantum improvement on the way things are done today. I should add that only just recently, I was talking about the pre-seed fund, like I mean in the last very, very few weeks, I went back to the council through the finance committee and I said, you know, sometimes $300,000 isn't enough for a venture. If you're talking about developing a new drug, to get it to an investor-ready position, sometimes you need more money. Very often with the help of the people like Stone Ridge Ventures are prepared to come in early, but they need somebody else to co-invest with them. So I think I need some more money. And, you know, also the circumstances where some of our spin-out companies are such a good investment that even though they're no longer pre-seed and they're doing a rights issue or some further capital is required, it actually makes sense to invest in them, to actually maintain our equity share up a little bit higher than would otherwise get diluted to if we didn't invest. How about you give me another $5 million to invest in that way? And with minor modifications to the terms of investment, the terms of reference, if you like, for that particular follow-on fund, as I've ended up calling it, that was also approved. So Curtin has really stuck its neck out in terms of backing its own technology businesses. But it's very generous not only in putting money in, but also in sharing those returns. So the fact that Curtin ends up owning the intellectual property is not such a threatening thing for the inventors, because the policy is one of sharing the returns with them equally. So they get 50% of what arises out of the intellectual property that's generated out of Curtin. And that has been a tremendous boon towards getting the academics really behind, the researchers, the inventors really behind what we're doing and believing in it and participating in it very, very wholeheartedly. I probably just want to wrap up very quickly, but I'll do that by saying two things. One is that the pre-seed fund now has been going since 2005, as I say, and in that time it's backed about 15 projects. It's always in tranches, and the early ones might only be a small amount of money. And some of those, after a small amount of investment, you say, nah, it doesn't pan out. And we have, in fact, burnt a reasonable amount of money in that way. But overall, over the period backing those 15 projects, we've invested some $2.7 million using venture capital type valuation techniques, which are, you know, for early stage technology, pretty fuzzy, but I come up with a number of about $7.6 million of current valuation of those investments, which is about a 2.8, nearly a 3x uplift factor on the investment that's been made from the fund. new technologies. What could it be that's coming through? What are these new companies that are going to help to contribute and fill the gap and flesh out and enhance and enrich the fabric of Western Australian business? And they're all global. Just about everything we push out has got global opportunity and global potential. I'll just mention a few because there's been some tremendous ones. Neuromonics. Neuromonics Limited is a treatment for tinnitus. Tinnitus, ringing in the ears, it drives people literally mad. People are driven to suicide when they have it. There is no known cure for tinnitus. There is no, other than the treatment provided by Neuromonics, there is no validated, useful treatment for tinnitus that actually works. Neuromonics does. It's in expansion phase in the United States. There's probably a significant number of you in this room who suffer tinnitus to some extent. Don't come see me. Look it up on the web. Cool Energy is still right here in Western Australia, developing has developed a technology for the extraction of carbon dioxide. It's done it on a real-life field, an Arc Energy field north of Perth, and is currently negotiating its first major commercial sale. Scandalized Proprietary Limited actually is associated with the mining industry. And that was the outright winner of the WA Inventor of the Year last year. Cool Energy was the runner-up in that category. Fantastic technology which is enormous benefit to miners in the optimization of the operation of their SAG mills and the like. The Buzz Corp is not in the mining sector. That enables people to get the benefits of voice over IP just by using an ordinary telephone. You don't need an ADSL line. You don't need a computer. You don't even need to know what a computer is. You just use your phone as you normally do, a little black box between the phone and the wall, and you get the benefits of voice over IP in terms of call costs. Sincere, which is represented here by Justin, he'll tell you all about that. Fantastic technology, also a prize winner. Multiple national prizes, including one just recently. Glycan is a drug development company just starting the transition to the United States. Scandalize and Glycan, both backed by Stone Ridge Ventures. Close association there with this, as I say, very fortunate Western Australia to have a group of this nature that's prepared to invest at such an early stage. Virtual Observer, C-Gyro, the list goes on. These are all real technology businesses that have got global application that are going to bring significant benefits to the state through their growth worldwide. So in closing, I just want to reinforce that there is absolutely no shortage in this state of excellent basis for building new business. There's tremendous technologies. The processes for screening them and getting them ready for investment are excellent, not only at Curtin, but at all the universities. In fact, just coming up on the 29th, we've got a pitch fest, which is a combination of Curtin, Murdoch University, Stone Ridge Ventures, and Watershed Corporate, all of whom are represented in this room, at which seven companies that have been screened and nurtured and taken to the point of being ready for a significant investment will be presented to the investing public. Should any of you be interested, please let me know. Thank you for your time.